righteous and holy and clean in this world. Amen. So therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. What God done when He justified you, amen, and you became born again as a child of God, God put you in a position with Him that God could be called your Father and you could be called His Son, amen, and He could lead you in this life that you might glorify Him in your spirit and in your body and in your soul. Amen. Hallelujah. We have so perverted the Word of God. We have so twisted the Word of God to make things as though they were, until we took all the responsibility off of us and put it all on God. Amen. We're going to get down to that in just a little bit. Now, if He's justified us and cleansed us with His blood, amen, then He told us here in Romans that we are to walk not carnally, but spiritually. Amen. And to be spiritually minded if we're going to have life and peace. Amen. And that we were to mortify the deeds of the body. Amen. And walk in the Spirit. Now that simply means this. Walking in the Spirit doesn't mean walking around with your head stuck up in the sky and shouting all the time and, you know, tiptoeing all the time or going around quoting the Scripture. That doesn't mean that, Brother John. Don't mean that. That simply means this. Walking in the Spirit means walking in obedience to God's Word. That's what it means. Just as simple as it can be. Walking in the Spirit means to walk according to the Scriptures and the Word of God and the principles of righteousness. It's righteousness that God's trying to develop in our hearts. It's holiness that He's trying to get to us. Amen. It's God-likeness that God's trying to work in our lives. Amen. God wants us to be like Him. Amen. We're His creation, and He created us in His own likeness and in His own image. And God is making provision for this. Amen. And so, without us doing anything other than just putting our faith in Christ, God justifies us. That's the work of God. But He justified us for the purpose of then walking in obedience to the Spirit or to the Word of God. Amen. And as we walk in obedience to God, then we're going to grow. We're going to grow. When you quit growing is when you stick your feet in the ground. And there ain't hardly anybody that will say, well, I've just stuck my feet in the ground. I'm not going to grow no more. No, usually when you stick your feet in the ground, you've got every excuse in the world why you're doing what you're doing. I don't agree with the preacher. I don't believe that's right. He ain't fasted a lick. He ain't spent hardly any time in prayer. He ain't stayed up all night and sought God. You know, he hadn't hardly done, but you just don't believe that's right. And the reason you don't believe that's right, because your flesh is dictating you, and you want to do what you want to do, and you're going to do it, brother, come hell or high water. And what I'm saying to you today and tonight is, God wants to make you like Him, and He can't do it if you won't go His way. But God's fixed it to where we can. God's put a yes in you. God's put something in you that wants to do what God wants you to do. And God's put an ability in you to do that. Amen. But you must mortify the deeds of the body. In other words, you're the fella. You're the individual that says yes or no to every question in your life. How many knows what lust is? Sister Pinkston, tell me what lust is. Now, I'm not talking about relating to the flesh. I'm not talking about relation to sex. I'm not talking about that. That's just one little old phase. desire, but yet God gave us desire. Okay, that's good. Desire is out of control. Anybody else want to say something on that? Amen. Ah, let me tell you just simple what lust is. Lust is desires out of harmony with God's Word. Amen. That's lust. Whether it is an act of lust on your part, or whether it is an act on your part that would entice lust in the other sex, or in someone else, or in some other nation. Lust is desire. The desires that God gave you. God gave you a desire to eat. When you lose your appetite, that's the desire to eat. When you lose your appetite, amen, you ain't going to last long. God gave you a desire to drink. Men pervert the desire to eat and they overeat. Men pervert the desire to drink and they drink the wrong thing. And even we eat the wrong thing. Amen. And the desire for sex is normal. God created that drive within every individual. Unless there's something wrong with them, they've got a physical impairment. Sometimes there's physical problems that cause it, and sometimes, you know. But normally speaking, God placed that in people. It's not wrong. God gave it to us. Amen? But it's like eating or drinking or anything else. When it gets out of harmony with God's Bible, then it becomes lust. And so God has put down some things. We holiness preachers, we harp on things that lead to these other things. And people say, well, I don't see no sense in that. I don't see no reasoning in that. But the Bible says abstain from the very appearance of evil. Not only that which is evil, but hey, we've got a mind to realize things that would lead into evil or cause evil. Amen. Hallelujah. So, we see there's more to it than meets the eye. Galatians 6 and 14 says this. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. You see, lust relates to this world. Amen. It's the passions and the desires that's perverted, that are out of harmony with God's Word, and it relates to this world. Amen. And Paul said, through the cross of Jesus, the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen. This lust, this pride of life, amen, these things are lust because they're out of harmony with God's Word and God's Bible. And so anything in life that we go at that puts us out of harmony with what God's Word declares unto us and the principles of righteousness that God teaches in the Bible, it puts us on dangerous ground. Puts us in a position and a place that we're just not going to grow. We're not going to grow. Amen. Hallelujah. So now we're ready to begin a life of holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. An old scripture, quoted a lot of times. And God made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. So He put us in a place that we can begin to pursue holiness, or we could call it progressing in sanctification. Could call it progressing in sanctification. Amen. In our text that we read tonight, somebody's already way behind me. In our text that we read tonight, in 1 Peter chapter 1, in the very next chapter, and chapter 2, and he starts that by saying, wherefore. Now, when you see the word wherefore, that means that he's going to make a statement that has to do with all that he said before that. He said, wherefore, or like we might say, because. You know. Well, God don't do like we do sometimes when the children say, because. And we just, that's it. Just cause. And we leave it there. But when God says, wherefore, then he's going to tell you something. Now, he said, because that God has made us into a position of holiness with him. Then he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire. That's a godly word. That's a godly desire. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Hallelujah. And folks go to sleep on you, preaching the word of God. And if they don't go to sleep on you, you get to preaching on holiness, and they get mad at you. And God says, if you're going to be holy like I'm holy, you're going to have to pursue me with desire. And you're going to do it through the word of God. Amen. That's what he's saying there. Praise the Lord. The word of God tells us about God. It tells us God's will in relationship to us. And so he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Another scripture I want to give you. I believe it's in John 17 where he prays for his disciples. John 17. I believe that's where it is. John chapter 17. Amen. Here we go. John chapter 17. Praise the Lord. John chapter 17. And verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what Jesus prayed to the Father. Sanctify them, make them holy. The word sanctify means holy. Sanctify them, Lord, make them holy. Amen. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. And Peter says, take on the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Peter said, if you want to be like God, if you're going to attain unto holiness, amen, if you're going to get a hold of the character of God, and the character of God's going to be produced in your life, then therefore you begin to get into God's Bible, and as you get into it, you let it allow you to grow. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the progress of sanctification. Our Christian journey into holiness then begins by God making us holy through justification. And then from there, God commands us then amen, to attain unto holiness. Amen. Now, you'll never attain through reasoning, because your reasoning will cause you to doubt God. You'll never attain unto holiness through your feelings, because your feelings, you can't go by. Your feelings will lead you astray. You can't attain unto holiness through your emotions, because they're deceptive. And there can lead you astray. Somebody said, well, I'll tell you what, I can depend on my conscience. No. Because your conscience can be seared to where it no longer tells you the truth. You see, you can lie to yourself to the point that you believe your own lie. You can tell yourself it's not wrong long enough till you get to believing it's not wrong. That's why folks can build again the things they once destroyed. They make themselves transgressors when they do. Amen. Well, the age-old story is this. Well, I'm just not convicted. And you'll probably never be. Somebody said, well, I was convicted. Not until you made proper consecration. Convictions comes through dedication. And without dedication, there'll be no convictions. As you commit and dedicate yourself to God, as you pray and fast and seek God through His Bible, through His Word, that's the way you're sanctified. You come to God humble before the Lord, open before God, honest before God, and through an humble spirit of honesty and the desire to learn and to know the truth and the will of God, willing in your heart to do whatsoever the Lord said to you to do, you come to God through prayer and study, amen, through dedication and commitment, you know what God will do? He'll start talking to you. He'll start unfolding the Word of God to you. He'll start revealing Himself to you. And you'll start seeing things wrong with a lot of things you never saw anything wrong with before. Amen. Well, I wonder why I never did feel you never did make the proper commitment and dedication to God. God puts you in a position as He justifies you through the blood of His Son. God puts you in a position where you can commit yourself to God. If you weren't justified by the blood of Jesus, you couldn't even get the time of day from God. God puts us in a position, amen, with His Son Jesus Christ, to where we're altogether holy at that point, and then God begins. That is a spiritual work done in our hearts and our lives, and a position that God makes for us before Him, so that God can begin to do a work in our lives from that point on. Salvation is nothing more than an open door. Salvation is nothing more than God's provision to be able to work with you and get to you and talk to you. Amen? And it's only as you commit your life to God, only as you yield your life to God, only as you, through prayer and commitment and dedication and Bible study, amen, seeking God's will, going to God for the answers, asking Him questions, asking Him to reveal His will, amen, then you will find out what God wants out of you. You'll begin to grow. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to close shortly. Nobody's fell out of their seats yet. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the word hagios is the word that describes the vicarious work of God upon our life that justifies us. Now, let me read you a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to close with this place here. And actually, about all I'm doing tonight is building a foundation to lay some other blocks on. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to read a few verses there. Let's see, we'll begin about verse 10 and read down through verse 13. Amen. Incidentally, there's about four words, basically. There's different renditions of this word, these words that mean different things. But basically, there's four basic Greek words that is translated holy, holiness, sanctification, and righteousness. They have different meanings. The word hagios that I just gave you relates to God and His holiness and the perfection of God. Now, the word that I'm going to give you now is the word hagiosune. Hagiosune. Now that's the word that you want to look at when we read this scripture now. Okay, verse 10, chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians. Night and day, this is Paul speaking, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Amen. Paul wanted to give them the word of God to perfect them, to bring them closer to God, to reveal some truth unto them that they at the present time evidently did not have, and it was that added truth was to perfect them. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. He desired to be with Him. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now, God wants to establish you in holiness before God. And the word hagiosune here is not a vicarious holiness, or a holiness that's imputed to you. But this word is a holiness of the individual's possession that speaks of a gradual, little by little, building up through the obedience of the Word of God and following the example of Christ. Did you get that? Was it important to you? Hey, folks, if it's going to take this for us to go to heaven, we better know what it's talking about. Well, I think I do, Brother Casey. I doubt it. I doubt if you really realize the importance of this, what I'm telling you tonight. This holiness that God, that Paul is declaring to them that he wants to help them to attain, amen, is a holiness that the individual must attain to. Amen. It's not a vicarious holiness. It's not a holiness that's imputed to us. Amen. But it is a stature of life that God has set forth before the foundation of the world for His children to walk in. Amen. And it actually is the training of us as you as train a child, amen, to be an obedient child. child, to be a child that would bring honor to its parents, then this is the same spirit that God is looking at us, that by the Word of God and by the power of the Spirit and through obedience of heart and mind and humbleness of spirit, amen, and the love of God in our hearts, then we will learn obedience and follow Him, amen, and attain unto holiness in our hearts and life, in our everyday life. Now, this same word is used again in, I believe it's 2 Corinthians. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now listen to what he says here. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us? I thought God done it. God did at salvation when we got saved. God cleansed us. He sanctified us through His blood. But now that He's got us in a place that we have contact with Him, that we have a prayer line open, that He's given us a new nature, amen, and a desire to be like Him. Now that God made it possible that we've got an intercessor and we've got one we can call upon, we've got help from heaven, then God said, let us, amen. Hey, that's no longer God's responsibility. Well, if God wants me to do it, He can convict me and show me. He won't never do it. You can forget it. He won't never do it unless you make the commitment and dedication. Unless you desire. Unless you want it. God won't never do it. He said, what did He say? Seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness first, and then these things will be added to you. God said for you to do it. If you want to attain unto holiness, if you want to attain unto the character and nature of God, then you've got to seek God to attain unto it. And God then, as you seek Him and you desire it and long for it, God will develop it in your heart. Amen. And God will give you the convictions you need. He'll give you the direction you need, and God will help you to live holy in this world. Amen. That's why folks can argue with you. That's why they can do everything they want to do, go everywhere they want to go, participate with everything they participate in, and do everything they want to do. They can do it because they want to. Amen. If you don't believe it, you question them about it. If you want to see somebody get mad and frustrated and upset, let me go on. Let us cleanse ourselves from what? All filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Hagiosune, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. That's the holiness that's my responsibility and your responsibility. He said for us to do it. How am I going to do it, Brother Casey? How am I going to attain unto that? By your own act of your will. I want the truth. Huh? I want to know what's right. I'm seeking God for an answer. Lord, I've got a question. Lord, I desire to know. You know what most folks do? They just fuss with the preacher. Do what they want to do. That's right. Everywhere. That's the way it is now. You know, that's just, it's not important. Don't make a difference. You know, after all, we're all saved and going to heaven. I'm sorry. Amen. I'm sorry. That's not right. If you're not growing in the grace of God unto the holiness of the Lord, amen, these children here just start coming, just start praying. They're like babies. As newborn babes take on the sincere milk of the Word, Do you think God requires of them what He does of you?
No.
They're growing. They're just babies. They got to have milk. They got to have someone to help them, cater to them, and work with them, love them, show them the way with loving care and kindness. But some of you need a whipping. That's right. Because you know better than to do what you're doing. Somebody said, well, my flesh, all right. Yeah, but you got one of the nastiest spirits there ever was. Huh? He said, perfecting holiness in the fear of God in your spirit and your flesh. Amen. Folks, we've got to be right. When Jesus comes, He's coming for a church that's without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Amen. Now, I haven't named a lot of things tonight in this message on holiness, but I got down to the root of it. All your problems are basically on these two areas of holiness. What's God's responsibility, and then what's read through the rest of the chapter there. And all right, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Here is the commandment. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Father, in Jesus' name tonight, we're asking you once again, hide us behind Calvary and help us tonight to share the Word of God, Lord, with this congregation of people, that your blessings might reach out to them. Lord, that your Spirit might lead us into thy truth. We might have an understanding, Lord, of our position with you, and Lord, our responsibility to you and the gospel, and to a lost and a dying world. Would you bless us and anoint us now and help us to preach the message, the Word of God, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Amen. I'm going to preach tonight on holiness. That'll be all right? A little different, maybe, but I'd like to really look at the Scriptures for a little while tonight. And maybe even with preaching, this will be Bible study. all right if you get your pencil, paper, and use your Bible, and what have you. But we want to look at this for a little while tonight, and there's no way that I'll be able to preach this tonight. I'm merely beginning, and we'll just take it as the Lord gives it to us and goes. And seemed like the Lord dealt with me along these lines, and I feel like sharing it with you. And I've been doing a lot of study, probably in the last 6 months, a lot of study on holiness. I've looked up hundreds of words. I've looked at the original language. I've studied different concepts of it, different interpretations of it. And these things that I'm sharing with you tonight are not something that just off of the top of my head, but it's something that I have studied and prayed about and sought the Lord about for a long time, but very seriously in the last 6 months in relationship to. Because if holiness is a requirement to see God, and holiness is a requirement to go to heaven, amen. And if it's like that we have preached and believed and taught for many years and those before us, even the old timers among the holiness people and among the Nazarenes and the Methodists and the old time Baptists, if it's really true what they were teaching in its very essence, it's necessary, then I felt like definitely we ought to have a better understanding of it. What God's requirements was for you and I if we were going to see God. Now, I'd like to begin here tonight with this particular text. Amen. And for actually this is a commandment as much as any other part of the Bible. For it says unto us that he which is called us is holy. Then he said, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at this for a little while. We'd like to say this first. Amen. Holiness has to have more than one part to it. It had to have. As I began to look into it, began to study, I found it that it has a lot of parts, and every time that the Bible says holy, it is not the same word in the original language. And that gives me some insight into it. Amen. And I found out that basically, amen, that the word holy, the word holiness, the word righteousness, the word sanctification, amen, that many a times these words were interchangeable and translated and came from some original words in the original language. Amen, but they are synonymous words with various shades of meaning. So as we look at this, we see that God is holy. Amen. And the admonition here is for you and I to be holy like God is holy. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, that's impossible. And if we look at that and leave it there, amen, without really understanding what God's saying to us, we would say, it's impossible to be just like God. I mean, how can we attain to the holiness of God? How could we ever reach? I mean, that's incompatible with other scriptures. How could we ever attain to the holiness of God? How could we ever reach such a state of righteousness? Amen. But the words involved tell us what God's saying to us. And that's why I want to talk to you a little while about tonight. Now, holiness must have a beginning. Amen. Holiness has got to have a beginning. I'm going to try not to keep you too late. Amen. Tonight, because of this type of sermon, I have just put a time on it to preach to you because this is teaching. Amen. And I'll stop. Amen. On a time schedule, and then I'll pick up there and carry on next Wednesday night. Amen. But holiness must have a beginning, and that beginning is this. If God said, you've got to be holy like I've got to be holy, then there's got to be some way that God can cause us to be holy like He is holy. Amen. And so holiness, the beginning of holiness, is justification. Amen. In order for us to be holy like God is holy, God has got to justify us. There's got to be justification because no man can attain unto the place that God is. No man can be holy as God is. Amen. But we have this commandment to be holy because God is holy. Now, the Greek word that's used here for God being holy, the holiness of God, the Greek word that's used is a word called hagios. Amen. And this word means sinless, perfect, without flaw. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, God's got to do something to put us in that position. You know that. Amen. Is there anybody here that's sinless? Is there anybody here that's flawless? Is there anybody here tonight that's perfect? Amen. God is. And God said for us to be that way. That's the position He placed us in His presence. Amen. And so, since God is the highest example of perfection, amen. In other words, God is the ultimate of perfection. He is altogether righteous, altogether holy, altogether pure. Then God placed Himself there as an example unto men. Amen. Can we see that? Amen. He uses Himself to challenge us to holiness. The word here, be holy, or hagios, pertaining to man, literally means this, God-likeness. It means to be like God. God-likeness. Amen? How are we ever going to be like God? For man to be like God, he's got to be justified. And justification simply means being made righteous. Amen. We get that? Amen. In order to be justified, in order to be like God is, or holy like God is, man must be justified or made righteous. Now, the Scripture says that Abraham believed God. Amen. And as he believed God, the Scripture says he obeyed God. And God accounted that to him for righteousness. What does that mean? That means that God imputed righteousness unto him. Amen. God made him righteous. God said, you're righteous. Amen. We no longer have the direction of Abraham. Amen. But we have Jesus Christ. Now, the Scriptures I read to you here, God did not tell us to be holy like He's holy and then leave us holding the bag, to wonder how we would ever get there, how we could ever be justified to be holy as God's holy. Amen. And leave us there. God did not do that. The writer Peter, the apostle Peter, did not do that. But he showed us then, in the context of this Scripture, how we are to attain unto righteousness, how we are to attain unto holiness through justification. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said then, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. How are you and I made righteous how are we justified in the presence of God to attain, amen, this holiness that God says required of us? Amen. Now, there's two phases of holiness that's required of us. Number one is we are to be made holy like Jesus through redemption, or like God through redemption. Amen. And so, through the blood of Jesus, through the redeeming work of Calvary, through this precious blood of Christ as the Lamb of God, amen, when we believe in God and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and that God gave him glory and power, amen, and our faith rested upon Jesus Christ, amen, then we obey the truth. And as we obey the truth, then in verse 22 it says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. How'd you purify your souls? In obeying the truth. You believed in Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You believed in His shed blood. Amen. You come to God through Christ, and God saved you. And as you obeyed that truth and trusted in Christ, then God cleansed you from all unrighteousness through the blood of His Son, and you was made holy. Amen. Then He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God. Then He says, the Word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the Word which the gospel is preached unto you. So the message came, amen, that if you will look to Christ, if you'll repent of your sins and look to Jesus and have faith in Christ and His shed blood, amen, then God will justify you in His sight, amen, through the redemption, the redemptive work of Christ of Calvary, amen, and therefore you're made holy by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes,
amen. That's what hagios means. Amen. That's what it has to do with. Amen. And we see how that God worked that out for you and I. Amen. Men was in bondage, brought into bondage by the devil, and we have got to be justified before God before we could ever attain unto holiness. Amen. Hallelujah. So our holiness, as far as our salvation and attainment, is an instantaneous work of justification, which sanctifies us wholly in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Now, some teach a definite work of sanctification in relationship to that. And those that teach a definite work of sanctification, they pushed it even farther. And they describe sanctification as putting us into a place where we no longer sin. Amen. I've had them tell me that. Fuss with me about it. Amen. But that's not right. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us and justifies us in the presence of God. Amen. Let me give you this. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be redeemed, or the ransom has got to be paid for your release. We were held in bondage by the devil. Amen. We were bound to the devil by the world and the flesh, our own flesh, and our own carnal will. So there must be redemption before there could be justification. And then there must be justification before there can be sanctification or holiness. Amen. There's got to be all those things have to work together. Amen. And then Peter says we weren't redeemed with silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. And so our souls have been purified as we obeyed the truth. Amen. He sanctified us in the presence of God. And then Titus says this in Titus chapter 2. We'll turn over there and read it. Well, I did have it marked. But it's no longer marked. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. We'll read this. Verse 14 said, "Who gave himself for us," speaking of Christ, "that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." What did he do? He redeemed us. He bought us back. He purchased us with his own blood. Amen. And his righteousness stands for us in the presence of God. Amen. And so he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So the sanctification or the holiness is wrought by justification is then an imputed righteousness, an imputed holiness, an imputed sanctification. What does that mean? Amen? That means it's vicarious. That means it's a work that's wrought by God. That means God done the work through His Son, Jesus Christ, and it's not me or my righteousness that accomplished this work. Amen? Amen, that caused me to attain unto the holiness of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. But it was God that done that work. That's an instantaneous work done at Calvary. When you're born again, brother, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you're as a newborn babe without sin, other than the baby's inherited sin through his father Adam. Amen, but you're pure, you're clean, you're holy. You stand before God justified. Not one mark against you. God took all the condemnation, all the guilt, and all the sin, and he hid it. Amen. He took it as far as the east is from the west, and he left you there as a newborn babe. You were justified in the eyes of God. That's the reason why you feel so light and so free. Amen. And so joyous. Amen. And every burden's gone. And every weight's gone. And you just feel almost like you're floating. You just feel so good when you're saved. It's because God has justified you through Jesus, His Son. And you no longer have that weight of sin upon your life. Amen. Now, we're talking about holiness. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I think we can see this. We were in bondage to sin. And actually, the bondage of sin has its roots in our self-will. Our own self-will. We're the one that make the choices. And it's our own self-will that sin is the root. Our self-will is the root of the sin in our life. Amen. And no one but you, whether it's from a child or from an adult, no one but you makes that choice, though it might be through peer pressure or through some other pressure, or it might be through lust of some nature or some other reason. Yet no one but you decides to smoke that first cigarette or to take that first taste of alcohol. Amen. Not knowing that you're going to be addicted by that. Amen. Or it's you that learns how to curse to the point that you're addicted to cursing. Amen. It becomes a part of you and a habit, and you're addicted to it. Amen. Little children starting out by saying gosh and golly and heck and darn. Amen. Which are actually substitute words for cursing. Gosh means God. Darn means damn. Heck means hell. They're just substitute words that the devil got, amen, for cursing. They're curse words. Amen. And nobody really realizes that when they through their own self-will, they give the okay for their mouth to speak. Or they're okay for whatever they do, they don't, little do they realize that they're being brought into bondage. Amen. Amen. It's not what something is to start with, it's what it leads to that gets us in trouble. Amen. It's not necessarily the adultery. Amen. We look at that and we say, no, 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 you know, that's a bad thing. It's, you know, I mean, that's hands off, don't touch. Amen. That's bad. Amen. We look at that and we say, man, that's terrible, that's gross, that's bad. Immorality of all kind, homosexuality, lesbianism. We don't realize that sometimes it starts in our little child. Amen. We don't realize sometimes it starts by that mama making a sissy out of that boy. Amen. Sometimes we don't realize that it starts maybe, amen, as a child, as two little girls, amen, become friends and sleep together. Amen. And because they're not taught or trained in purity, in morals, sometimes through inquisitiveness and investigation, they create a homosexual spirit and attitude. Little boys the same way. Boys ought to be allowed to roughhouse and sweat. Amen. Little girls ought to be taught to be effeminate. Amen. And taught from earliest childhood to be pure and clean and holy. To protect that holiness. To protect that cleanliness. Amen. But we don't realize that adultery and fornication and homosexuality, it has a beginning somewhere. It starts someplace, and it might be as a child. I preached this for years. Amen. That mamas ought to start dressing their little girls decent at the earliest age. It looks cute to have little frills on them and little short dresses and their little ruffly panties showing. And what ungodly lurch would lust after something so pretty as that and cute as that? Huh? There might be some that would that had a perverted mind. But the thing of it is, by doing that, you're creating a spirit in that child. Amen? You're creating a spirit in that child. Amen? A character in that child, an attitude in that child, that when she gets to be a teenager, amen, and maybe out of your control, she'll revert back to what she likes. The nakedness. Little boys, mamas put little short panties on them, run around with no shirts on. You know what they create in that child? A spirit of nakedness. A spirit of nakedness. You see, the devil takes advantage of all these things, and little do we understand and realize, amen, that adultery and fornication and unclean situations of all kinds, they begin somewhere, and sometimes they begin way back as a small child. It's a spirit that we develop in them. It's an attitude we build in them. Amen. As we counsel them and train them. Amen. Of their everyday lifestyle. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Romans chapter 8. Going back to what I was saying a while ago. We've been redeemed because we were in bondage, and we've been justified and cleansed by the atoning work of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think Romans explains it very well. Romans chapter 8. Let's just go ahead and read a number of verses there. We'll begin with verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, after you get saved and you get made holy by the blood of the Lamb, you get sanctified by the precious blood of Jesus, and you're declared righteous. Amen. You're justified by Jesus Christ. Amen. Then you're free of guilt and condemnation, and you can stay that way if. You can stay and remain that way if, to them who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law, amen, now, the righteousness of the law, get that, not the law that had to do with sacrifice and offerings, not the law necessarily that had to do which Jesus fulfilled as a type and a shadow of Him and His work, but the righteousness of the law, the holiness of the law, the morality of the law, the standard of the law. Amen. It was not done away with it, but He came to give us this new life, to make us right in His presence, to cause us to be holy and justify us by His Son, Jesus Christ, that you and I, the righteousness of the law, might be fulfilled in us. Amen. God wants to fulfill that in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now this is not necessarily talking about the Holy Ghost or the experience of the baptism. Amen. It's talking about the regenerating work of the Holy Ghost upon our lives that causes us to be born again to walk in the Spirit of Christ. Amen. God justifies us for a purpose. You see, unless God justified us and made us altogether guiltless, then God could not lead us. God could not speak to us, and we could not come to Him in prayer. Amen. And listen now. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Amen. In other words, you're not allowing the flesh or the body to control you, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, now, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Lord, we're grateful for your blessings tonight. We ask you now to touch us, Lord, with a coal off the altar of God. We ask you to touch our thoughts and our minds. Oh God, just help us tonight to have the words to speak, Lord. Let them be spoken in a clear manner that they might be able to touch our hearts and give us that which we need in our souls. For we desire to have knowledge and understanding of the will of God. Help us, we pray. We look to Thee. Thy Word is our strength, and we believe in it, Lord. Guide us in this message and help us to be a blessing to this congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll have prayer for Sister Altmummer's leg. Anyone else that needs prayer at the end of the service? As we come around the altars to pray. But we want to continue, and I guess we could call this holiness number two. As we preached last Wednesday night on holiness, and basically we just covered the one side of holiness and got to started good on the other side. So we'll look at it from a little different standpoint tonight. But the writer here in the text tonight actually said that God called us unto holiness. And this text has a meaning. I thought about it as I was studying this evening and meditating on this scripture. along with a lot of these other scriptures that I was looking at. But it has a meaning and a sense of someone standing in a higher plane, someone standing at an elevated point, and calling to someone at a lower state and saying, come up here. Amen. Did you get that? Hallelujah. It signifies God calling us unto holiness. And it says unto holiness. That means we're reaching for it. Amen. That means when we go unto something, amen, that means we're striving, going towards it. And so it signifies someone on a higher level, someone on an upper plane that's calling or beckoning to us to come up here. Amen. To a higher elevation. And I think that's the sense in which that the writer, the Apostle Paul, spoke here in relationship to what God's requirement for us was. Called unto holiness. Amen. And I think we can see from these scriptures and some other scriptures that holiness, though last week we declared and described the fact that holiness was wrought and had its beginning in our hearts when we got saved through the blood of Jesus, it positioned us in a place of holiness. God placed us there through His Son, Jesus Christ. He cleansed us and made us holy. And so that was an imputed righteousness, an imputed holiness. Something that we didn't have anything to do with other than exercising our faith in Christ and what He done for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And that brought the atonement of Christ in to bear, and Jesus accepted the blood of His Son in my stead and your stead. Amen. And He declared you and I holy. Hallelujah. But what we're looking at this week and the scripture here is not the same word at all. It's not when he called us unto holiness here, it's not the same word that describes God making us holy. It's not at all. It's not a vicarious word. It's not a word that's an imputed word. But the word is hagiosune. Now remember last week the word was hagios. That's an imputed righteousness. That is a positional righteousness. That's the righteousness that God put in us through His Son. It wasn't something that we had attained. Neither was it a state that we were in at that time. But it was a position that God placed us in through His Son. He made us holy and made us righteous, made us clean and pure and undefiled before Him, amen, through His Son Jesus. But this word here where He called us unto holiness is the word hagiosune. And it is I'll read here what Vine's Greek dictionary said about this word. It said it is not a vicarious word. This holiness cannot be transferred or imputed. It is an individual possession built up little by little as a result of obedience to the Word of God and following the example of Christ. I rejoiced when I found this. I really did, because I've been preaching this for years. Amen. And when you find something from someone that's, you know, that's intelligent, and a guy's got to be pretty smart to, you know, to give you a Greek dictionary and go into the original words and things. So I'm taking his word for it. I feel like he knows what he's talking about. And I run references other places, and they verify what he said and his statement. And not only that, but I like it when it witnesses to my spirit that it's right. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And so this was right with what the way I saw it, and the way I've been preaching it for a number of years. And so it just added strength to that which I felt was right already. Amen. Hallelujah. And it just clarified these words. When I run a study on these words, just clarified things to me and made it a little more vivid and made it a little more understandable to me of what holiness really was. I knew that we were holy in the eyes of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, but I also knew that God had a requirement of holiness for us in our everyday lifestyle. Amen. And a lot of years, I couldn't really get all that together. Amen. And I'm not saying I got the corner on it now, but I feel like I know a lot more about it than what I did know about it. Amen. And so we find here then that this holiness is not an imputed holiness, but it's an individual possession that you and I attain to little by little or gradually as we grow in the grace of God. Amen. Now, I thought of a scripture that illustrated this in the Old Testament. And I don't know just exactly where it is now. It's in the Pentateuch. That's one of the first five books. Well, it's in from Exodus on. It's in one of those books. But anyway, when the children of Israel was called out of bondage and led towards Canaan's land, the Lord told them, said, "Now, I'm not going to give you this land all at one time." He said, "Lest the beasts of the field and the thistles, the briars overrun you." He said, "But little by little ye shall possess it." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I thought, that's just exactly what He's saying here about holiness. Amen. He's not going to give it to us all at once. We're not going to become a full-grown saint of God or Christian, though we're a saint the moment we're saved. But we're not going to become a full-grown, meat-eating Christian, amen, overnight. Hallelujah. But we're going to grow into this holiness, and if we live to be 100 years, we should still be growing into holiness. So He called us unto holiness. Amen. He's up here. God's up here and said, "I am perfect." God can say that because He is. He's the ultimate of perfection. God said, "Here I am up here. Look at me." He said, "Come up where I'm at." And so we're on a roll. We're gaining ground. And I thought her dream tonight kind of went along with what I was thinking and saying. God is, we're climbing. Amen. We're pressing towards the mark. Amen. We're seeking to be more like Jesus. We've got a desire to be more like Him. If we don't have a desire and we're not seeking, we're in trouble. Amen. I noticed Sister Casey tonight. She said, "I want to." You know, I don't want to be lukewarm or cold or just in a formality, but I want to. You know, I want to. Well, that's what we got to have, is the desire, the want to, the longing. When we lose that, we've lost the most precious thing we've got. When we lose the desire to be in God's house and service nights, amen, even when we can't be here, if we're working on a job, and even when we can't be, we ought to have a desire to want to be. Amen. We ought to long to be here. We ought to feel like we need to be there. That's right. We ought to feel that in our hearts. Why? That's proper and that's normal. And as long as we've got that desire in our hearts, amen, then we're going to be going in the right direction, because that desire and longing is going to lead us on. Amen. It'll keep us going right. Amen. And so we're climbing higher. We're called unto holiness, and so we're striving for it. We're reaching after it. We're trying to attain unto the holiness of God. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, we'll look at a few scriptures tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. This here is another good little illustration to show us the progress of sanctification, or that's what they call it in terms of, you know, they've got the definite workers and the progressive workers, you know. Well, me, I'm a both a definite and a progressive. Both of them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't think you can get any cleaner than you can get when the blood's applied to you. Hallelujah. If the blood can't cleanse you, brother, there ain't nothing else can. Hallelujah. But then that's where these two words come in. Hagios and hagiosune. Hagios is that definite work of holiness that's wrought in our lives, our sanctification. The words sanctification, righteousness, holiness, those are synonymous words with various shades of meaning. They come from the basic root word. Amen. And they actually mean godlikeness. That's actually what they all mean. They mean being like God, godlikeness. Amen. And so this work is progressive. I believe that we need to progress in holiness. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wish there was an experience you could get, a one-time experience you could get, that you would become perfect and holy. Amen. And have the flesh under subjection and not have to worry with it anymore. Not have to fuss with it anymore. Amen. Not have to struggle with it anymore. I wish there was an experience you could get like that. I never have got it. If there is, I'd like to get it. Because, boy, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Amen. But I have talked to others that have said they have it and have experienced it, but they're still struggling. Hallelujah. So it never did really, I never could really get it all together. But I believe the truth of the matter is this. It is definite. In the blood of Jesus Christ, the experience you get, it cleanses you and makes you holy, but it is progressive in that you have got to take off from there and begin to work on this old man. Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen to it. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? But we're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Hallelujah. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't that signify you a progress in sanctification? Amen. We're a part of the body of Christ. We're part of the building and the frame, and we're growing unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look now at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, 17. This goes along with the same thing here. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16, 17, he says this, Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So he tells us that we're the temple of God. That's why God requires us to be holy. And we're a building that's fitly framed together. And we're growing unto the temple of God. Amen. We're growing unto, the dwelling place of God. Hallelujah. So God one day will literally dwell in our midst. Amen. Because of this. So we can see the progress of sanctification. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 12 again. For just a little bit. Romans chapter 12. Get back there to it in a minute. Let's look at verse 2. The Bible tells us in verse 1 to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y. And the word holy there is a vicarious holiness. We present our bodies to the Lord as a holy sacrifice because of Calvary, because of Jesus, because of what He done. because the position He puts us in, and God has transferred His wholeness to us through Jesus Christ. Or we could say, God has imputed holiness unto us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, as we've done this then, in verse 2 then, tells us that we've got to go on from this position of commitment and dedication, and that we are not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed, how? By the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so He tells us how we're going to become holy or grow into holiness. He tells us how we're going to do it. By the transforming of our minds. Somebody says, well, this old-time religion ain't got nothing to do with your mind. It has, too. All Christianity has got something to do with your mind. Somebody said, I'm just going to be led of the Spirit. Well, what a lot of them really means is I'm lazy, and I'm not going to study, and I'm not going to pray. I'm just going to let the Spirit lead me, and sometimes the Spirit that leads them ain't the right Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. Yeah, right. Put you to sleep in a recliner, right. Amen. So our mind has a lot to do with this thing. Amen. It originates and starts in our heart, but hey, if we live on just that experience that we got when we began, that salvation that come and that experience that we got when we got saved, if we live on that, it won't be long till it's going to get weak and it's going to become a memory and it's going to be in the past. Amen. But that's only an open door that we can begin to progress in sanctification or holiness unto the Lord, and we progress in holiness by the renewing of our mind. Now remember last week, as I went on and read through 1 Peter there, chapter 1, and the very second chapter, then it began, and verse 2 said that we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. He's saying the same thing Romans says here. Amen? By the renewing of our mind. Amen? What does that mean? That means that I am going to begin to ask some questions and begin to go to God for the answers. Hallelujah. Praise God. That means when I run across scriptures in the Bible that I don't understand or maybe that, you know, relates to something, then I'm going to say, hey, Lord, what about this? Jesus, what do you mean by this? What about this? Whether it has to do with an attitude or a motive or a condition of life or where we go or what we do or what we say or what we think or what we see. Lord, what about this? Now, most people just draw their own conclusion from the flesh. And so they like to watch TV. It gratifies the flesh. It'll even gratify yours. Amen. I could go get one right now and look at it, and I'd be entertained by it. My flesh would. Oh, Brother Casey, and you would too. Don't lie to me. Amen. Even old Oral Roberts with six guns riding silver, you know. I'll tell you about that. The preacher preaching on TV, and this fellow told him, I just got one to watch the news and religious programs. And the preacher said, oh, is that right? Well, you know. So a few days later, he went over to the brother's house and knocked on his door. And someone come to the door, and they opened the door and let the preacher in, and there the brother was sitting there, his eyes glued to the TV. So the brother didn't say nothing. He just talked to him a little while and everything and then left. So the next service night, he got up and he said, I've seen something I never thought I'd ever see. And he went on a little bit and he said, I was over at Brother so-and-so's house and said he had that religious program on and said, I saw old Roberts Amen. Riding a white stallion and wearing six guns. I know you didn't get that, Sister Ford. Amen. But some of you got it anyway. Praise the Lord. But holiness is something we must renew our minds. It's got to do with our thinking. Amen. It's got to do with what we put into our minds. Amen. Your mind is fed through the senses. What you see, what you hear, what you feel, what you taste, what you smell. Amen. These senses send signals to your mind. Amen. So if you begin to watch lust, violence, greed, covetousness, and actually all sales pitches have one thing in common. They relate to the covetousness of man. That's right. That's it. They relate to the covetousness of man. See, they put it out there in a picture, and you look at it, and you desire. You want it. I like to have it. Whew, I want one of them. Amen. You've been there, haven't you? You know what I'm talking about. But that's covetousness is the spirit that causes that. See? Amen. And we all have got that affliction. Should I say weakness? Infirmity? Or sin? The Bible calls it sin. That's what it calls it. I mean, we put minor words. You know, we flower things up. You know, we put less bad words to it, you know. Instead of calling it sin, we call it a failure or a weakness or a shortcoming or something of that measure, and I guess it is. But that's sin. But the things that enter into our mind through the things that we come in contact with. Amen. If we fill our minds with the Word of God, if we fill our minds with the things of God, if we fill our minds and our hearts with prayer and Bible study and reading good books that relate to good things, amen, challenging things that would challenge our hearts towards anything that's righteous or honorable, you know, that would cause character building traits in our lives. Our attitudes or motives that would be pure. See, the McGuffey readers and the old readers of the public school system were full of them kind of things. Honorable things. Stories that related to attitudes and that were character building. That created proper attitudes in people's lives. Honesty and integrity and those things. Fair play and all them things. Amen. So what we take in our eye gate, with the exception of all that we can't help but take it in, amen, those things we should take in and do our best to take in are things that will add to our character and that will do good to us and that will cause us to be more righteous, more honorable, more holy, that will challenge us towards the good things of life. Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord. And there's a lot of things that's not wrong. Amen. The thing that makes them wrong, if they are contrary to the principle of God's Word. Amen. If they're contrary to the principle of God's Word, then as we allow them to come into our eye gate or our ear gate or whatever, then they will lead us away from God rather than to God. And they will weaken us in our progress in sanctification. Amen. And so the more good we can put in to our hearts through Bible study and through prayer and through testimony one to another. Amen. And through witnessing and personal work and the things we do for God. Amen. That we allow to thrill our hearts and be a part of our everyday life. These are the things that causes us and leads us on into Bible holiness and causes us to attain unto sanctification or to grow. with God. Amen. So this is what he said. We're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's why that's one of the major reasons. If there wasn't another scripture in the Bible that would let me know that TV's wrong, it would be that. It would be this one here. Amen. Because there's very little on that that's wholesome. There is some on it that's wholesome. At least there was back years ago when I watched TV. And I understand that they still have some programs that are involved with geography or educational things which we relate to people or places or things. I don't know how it is now, but years ago Walt Disney had some things that related to the animal kingdom and various things, and they showed pictures of animals and places all over the country and all over the world, and I couldn't put my finger on anything wrong with something like that. There is some things, no doubt, that you could probably pick out that would be edification towards character building or knowledge, which would be clean knowledge and understanding. Ain't no doubt about it. But who in the world would want to go out and run their arm down in a barrel of slop just to get an apple? Amen. So the thing of it is, the Bible says abstain from the very appearance of evil. And so the best way to keep yourself from getting involved and viewing things you shouldn't view things is just plain old abstain from it. Because there's plenty to keep you busy anyway. Is there anybody got too much time on their hands? Anybody? I don't believe you have. I don't think anybody got too much time on your hands. Amen? But if you had one of them, you know what you'd do? You'd spend too much time at it, and it'd rob you of the time you should spend somewhere else. Amen. And one of the great horrible things about it is what it puts into the minds of children. Amen. I mean, sometimes children at certain age levels, they can't discern the difference between what's right and wrong. And no use of me preaching a long time on TV, because most of you here tonight, you agree with what I'm saying anyway. I'm not going to speak a long time on that, but I'm just using that to illustrate, amen, the renewing of our minds. Hallelujah. This is the key to the progress of sanctification in our lives. Amen. Is renewing our minds now. And that should be in the spirit of holiness. Lord, what should I do about this? Amen. Now we come along, and I'll illustrate it another way. We come along and we read the scripture. It's a shame for a man to have long hair. We read the scripture. Well, if we're desiring God and desiring the truth and desiring, we say, Lord, what do you mean by this? How does this apply to me, Jesus? And then we begin to read about this and we say, Lord, now how does this relate to me? And what does this have to do with morality? How does it tie in, Lord? So we begin to ask questions, Brother Pennington. And then we begin to seek God for the answer through the Bible. We're renewing our minds, see? Amen. We're carnal and we think carnal. And we got to have the Spirit of God, who is the author of the Word of God, to reveal it to our hearts. And that will only happen as we make the commitment and the dedication and say, Lord, what about this? God will lead us into all truth if we'll desire, if we'll ask, if we'll seek. We say, what about this, Lord? I don't see no relationship to hair. What's that got to do with holiness or standard or... Or what's that got to do with me and God? And what's involved? Trinity. It's related to obedience. It's related to submission. Amen. It's amazing that the world knows more about it than church people do. The first thing Uncle Sam does when he inducts you, he might induce you, I don't know, induct you into the service, The first thing he does is cut their hair off. You know what that's for? To break their spirits. To humble them. To get them into a place of submission. You'd be surprised how much pride is related to your hair. Men and women. You'd be surprised. Whew. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I ain't got enough to be proud of, but I'm proud of what I got. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. You know what anybody know why they call that thing in your bathroom vanity? Foster just got a new one. Huh? Because it relates to vanity. Amen. It's where you can adorn, decorate the flesh. You know? Amen. Where was I at? Well, I got interrupted or led astray or something. I was on hair, wasn't I? Amen. So you'd be surprised what this has to do with it. And when you begin to read that there, you see how it's related. And then you begin to really study. You really begin to seek God. And you really get into it. You'll find that it's related to the sexes. And it has to do with keeping a distinction between them. And when you get down to it, you'll find that the whole root of the matter is homosexuality. And that's digging deep. But you'll find that's the spirit involved in it. Same way with women cutting their hair. Amen. The Bible says it's shame for a man to have long hair. But it also describes that a woman should not cut her hair because it's given to her for her glory. And it shows that she's in subjection to her husband and under the authority of God. And her long hair is given her for her glory. And it's to describe her as a female. Amen. As being effeminate and being modest. Amen. And it all relates to the sexes. And God tried to set up some guidelines in the Bible, Old Testament and New, to try to hold men and women within the bounds of their normal sexes. Hallelujah. I've never seen nothing like it. This year, it doubled or tripled. It started several years ago. But you see the women in town with the men, and the women's got pants on and the men's in shorts. Men are becoming more effeminate and more effeminate as every day goes by. And women are becoming more bold and brash and forward as every day goes by. What is it? It's a perversion of the sexes. Amen. So God said a woman should not put on that which pertained to a man, neither should a man put on a woman's garment. All that do so are an abomination unto God. What was God saying? God said, I want women to remain women in their natural state, and I want men to remain men in their natural state. Amen. And I want you to guard against anything that would cause you to be effeminate, and I want you ladies to guard against anything that would cause you to be masculine. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's keep things honorable. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's holiness. That's holiness. It's more, Brother Pennington, than just the outward showing of the hair or the dress or the thing. It has to do with obedience to God in honor to honor God and keep men honorable. Jesus said to the man, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you committed adultery in your heart. If a woman dresses in such a way that would cause a man to look on her and desire her and commit adultery with her in his heart, amen, then she's as guilty as he is. And God said, if you're going to keep things straight and you're going to keep men, men, and women, women, then there's some guidelines you're going to have to have. Amen? And modesty's one of them. So all these things pertaining to holiness, really, they all relate together. The hair, the modesty, the men's apparel, women's apparel. You see, the Bible says it's shame for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man, but it also says shame for a man to put on a woman's garment. Why, good gracious, you see them today, it's got earrings and necklaces, bracelets, just as effeminate as they can be. Hallelujah. Every one of you buy this tape and spread it around all over the country. Or get one of them. They ain't for sale. Hallelujah. I had to quit that. I got convicted. I quit selling them. I just started giving them away and then taking offerings. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So holiness is something that is an actuality in our lives. And it will work for us as you and I renew our minds, and we'll renew our minds as we see things in the Bible, as we come up against things in the Bible and we see this, then we go to God, amen, in prayer and in study and seek God and begin to ask ourselves questions and then go to the Bible for the answers. And then we'll find the answers as we seek for them. The Holy Ghost will reveal them to us. We'll see, amen, and we'll relate to it. We'll say, I see it, I got it. I believe that's the will of God. That's for me. Amen. I believe that. That's the way I'll live. I'll obey God. And we've stepped up another rung on the ladder. We've grown a little bit. We've come a little farther. We've advanced in holiness. Amen. That's sanctification. That's progressive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it'll be one thing after another as we go through our Christian experience and our life. Amen, that God will reveal things to us and show us things. And sometimes He will show us things, amen, that will strictly relate to us. And there's some people that any conviction that they get, as far as they're concerned, it's conviction for everybody else. Amen. But that ain't right. Because God relates to us as individuals. And what hurts me might not hurt you, or might not lead me astray. But it might lead you astray, and so God might deal with your heart and say, hey, you quit that. Don't you mess with that. You leave that alone. But He may never say nothing to me. Amen? That's right. Because it might not, my nature, my character might not bother me at all. Amen. Things like, now I'm not talking about things that are revealed in the Scriptures. I'm talking, these are personal things. For instance, some preachers will just kill you dead for wearing a necktie. They preach that as doctrine. Amen. They preach it as being proud. Well, it don't make me no difference one way or the other, but I've always wore a necktie because it holds my shirt up and keeps my collars from flopping. And a necktie looks right with a suit. Suit don't look right without one. So I wear one. There ain't no conviction on my part about it. Now, if I go to a man's church to preach for him, and he's got people in his church that don't wear ties, then I won't wear one. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block. And I don't want to be a fence. And it might cause him a problem, and I don't want to cause any preacher a problem. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But if he comes to my church, then he'll just have to accept me the way I am. Amen. But there's different things. Coffee, tea, soda pop. Brother Don Rich tells about preaching revival at this church, and he's telling me about it. I don't know if he relayed about it all over, but he told me about it anyway. Preaching revival at this church, and these folks didn't believe in drinking anything but water or juice. That's all they'd handle. They were sanctified people. And he said he went about 3 days and said he said, boy, I'm kind of wanting a Pepsi. He said, it's real hot summertime. He said, I was kind of wanting Pepsi. Little old store down there. So I thought, well, I'll just go on down there to that little old store. Ain't nobody around. I'll just get me a Pepsi and I'll drink one. I wouldn't want to offend these people any, you know. And he said, would you know it? He said, about the time I got that thing turned up about like this, that in walked 2 or 3 of them. Said, there I was, caught in the very act of it. Said, the word got to going around. Said, Brother Don's a real good preacher. But said, he really needs help on them. He's hooked on them Pepsis, and he really needs help. We need to pray for him. God will deliver him from them Pepsis. Amen. So that's the way some people are, see. Well, maybe God did deal with somebody's heart. Maybe it was hurting their health. Maybe it was harmful to them. Maybe it bothered them. Some people have to quit coffee because it bothers them. It might start bothering me one day, and I might have to quit it. I don't know. So far, it had never bothered me. I like coffee. I enjoy it. I like coffee. I like the taste of it. I drink it. Amen. And so far, it never has hurt me unless I drink it too late at night and drink too much, and then it kind of keeps me awake sometimes. Just sometimes on that, not all times. But same way with tea. And just little things that are maybe personal that God maybe has dealt with somebody about, and they've made a doctrine out of it, and they command everybody else to do just like them. Amen. That's what the Bible meant when it said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, if I find out that I'm doing something that is very, very offensive to a genuine Christian and someone that's really dedicated and loves God, and they're serious, and they're not just someone just messing around looking for something, you know, full of gripes and complaints. But if they're a saint of God and they're dedicated and sincere and genuine, and I find out that something I'm doing is hindering them, you know what the Christian thing for me to do? Quit doing it. Leave it alone. Don't mess with it. Hey, there's things that I do right now that I don't do them necessarily because I got a conviction on them. Because I find anything in the Bible against them. Amen. It's just the simple fact there are some of those among us that do find things wrong with it and a conviction. And I just said, it's not that important to me. I just don't mess with it. I leave it alone. And therefore, it doesn't offend. It doesn't hurt. Doesn't hinder. That's the Christian thing to do. That's the holiness thing to do. That's the right attitude to have. Amen. And that'll cause us to grow. Now, I told my wife I wasn't going to preach as long tonight as I did last week. Now, I don't know when to start. I heard somebody whisper. They whispered pretty loud, but I didn't get it. Amen. Just one side, Brother Lowell, just one side? Is the second side about over? Oh, goody. Okay. I don't want to run out here. Okay. Let's look a little further. And then we'll come to a close here. 1 Peter chapter 2. Because I might have wore folks out last week. Maybe that's why they ain't back tonight. But I'm sure glad you're here. I don't want to wear you out. But some of those not here tonight needed to be here tonight. They need to hear this part of the message. Amen. That's the devil's business. That's the devil's business. To keep people away from the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's on the tape. 1 Peter chapter 2. No, I've already read that. I've already given you that. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll close with this scripture. But I warn you, it's a long one. One fellow said, I'm closing, but said, I sure have a long closing. Amen. Maybe it won't be too long. Ephesians chapter 4. And let's begin with about verse 11. I brought a little bit of this out last week, but let's look at it again. Now, remember, we've established the fact that we're going to grow in grace. We're going to grow in sanctification. We're going to grow in holiness by the renewing of our mind or through the Word of God. Applying, learning, studying, coming to knowledge, realization, and applying the Word of God to our lives. Amen. We've established that fact. Now, here is another way, and it's still by the Word of God, but it's through individuals and the Word of God. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Here's what he gave them for. for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints, that's making them like Christ, like God, perfect. Amen. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's what God's wanting with us. To a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So we're achieving holiness as we ask God questions, go to the Bible for the answers, find the answers from God's Word, apply them to our lives, amen, and set in our hearts the goal of following Christ, following His example, desiring to know Him, having fellowship with Him, and desiring to be like Him. Amen. So this is what brings us, causes us to grow in holiness, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Doesn't that sound like God's putting something in us to cause us to grow? Amen. To be more like Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Amen. We're members one of another. And I've got something that'll help you. And you've got something that'll help me. And you depend on me. And I depend on you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hey, if the devil can drive a wedge or take a hatchet, amen, and slice my foot, the foot of Christ off, sever at the joint of the knee, then that leg, that lower limb, is dispatched from the rest of the body, and it can't get any nourishment. It'll die. And so the blood vessels that runs through the upper leg supplies the blood to the lower leg and returns and makes a cycle. Every part of the body is dependent on the rest of the body. And you and I are the same way. Amen? If we allow the devil to drive a wedge in and sever us and our relationship, somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to lose out with Christ. Somebody is going to suffer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But if we'll recognize the devil when he sticks up his ugly head or when he draws his wicked sword and we grab the shield of faith, amen, and get a hold to, amen, of love and place it in our hearts and use the shield of faith backed up by love, we can ward off the devil and all the fire darts of the wicked. And we can not only protect ourselves, but we can protect each other. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen. Said, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The body edifying itself in love. Love is the commodity that brings us all together. Or love, we could say, is that which will flow through all the members, making us one in unity. Amen. That means that I've got a forgiving spirit. That means that I don't hold grudges. That means that I don't have a critical eye. Amen. That means that I don't have a nasty, cantankerous spirit. Huh? That means that I have got a spirit of love and concern. Amen. And of prayer. Hallelujah. And if I have that type of a spirit in me, then I will bring edification to you. Amen. I'll help you. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Some folks won't grow. Some folks won't open their hearts. Some folks won't let God teach them anything. Some folks won't even let the preacher teach them anything. Some folks know it all. They got it down, and they got it figured out, and they're going to do just what they want to do. You can't help people like that. You can't help them. You can love them and pray for them, But that's as much you can do. You can't help them. Until folks yield to God and let God talk to them, can't help them. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There we go again. Amen. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hallelujah. And I could go on. I'm not going to. I'm going to let you go on. I'll just give you that as an assignment. You read the rest of that chapter and the next one. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wouldn't hurt you. Just go ahead and read the rest of that. It's good. It applies to the subject tonight. Hallelujah. Holiness is the attitude, the character, the conduct, the motives. Amen. The things that we see, the things that we do, the things that we hear, the things that we feed our mind upon. Amen. Our associations. Everything around about us has to do with holiness. And as we realize and understand that, then we can eat the meat, leave the bones, take the good, and cast off the bad. And that which would cause us to edify, that which would cause us to, or help us to develop the right attitude, the right motive, good character, good conduct, amen, modesty, all things that relate to godliness, those things that would relate to that and help us in that, let us take them on. But all things that would lead us to hate and strife and envy and jealousy and murder and lasciviousness and lustfulness and greed and passion and all those things, let us reject them. Let us cast them aside. Let's do away with them. Amen. And say, God, help me. Hallelujah. That I would take on the things that would relate to holiness and cause me to grow in the grace of God. Would you stand with us tonight?